Your sense of humor will be the death of you, Doctor. Probably quite soon.
Spectrum.
The most valuable substance in the universe.
Your luck's run out, right?
You're dying.
It's called Spectrum's vaccine. There's no cure.
Do you think bullets could stop me now?
I'm sorry, Barry. I can't make it.
Ladies and gentlemen, hello and welcome to episode 12 of Who's To Review. I'm not sure why I said that so slowly.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. It must just be the fact that I'm so happy to be here yet again for what's going to be another Doctor Who review. And Tom, help me out. What are we reviewing today?
Today we will be reviewing the Peter Davison classic, The Caves of Androzani.
I'm not sure why I gasped, actually, because this was my pick this week.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of a bit weird there, but here we go now. I didn't realise this. This is Peter Davison's last episode as Doctor Who, as playing the Doctor, as a regular, because he does actually come back, I think, for that little five-minute minisode.
Time Crash. And, of course, Big Finish.
Yes, so he lives on.
He does,
But as far as in TV form, as far as this series goes, this is actually his final chapter.
It is.
It's a four-parter. It's pretty damn good. And it's The Caves of Androzani. Now, I must say, I've heard a lot of people list this as one of their favourites.
Yeah.
Especially for Peter Davison.
Yeah, absolutely. It's up there with, like, Resurrection of the Daleks and Earthshock. All of those stories. I think Caves tops them all.
Something that really grabbed me about this initially was this is the third Peter Davison story. No, the fourth.
Fourth, okay.
So
yeah.
I've seen the, was it the 20th anniversary one, or was that the 25th anniversary?
Yeah, 20th anniversary, The Five Doctors.
Yeah, so I've seen that one. I've seen Kinder. And I've also been fortunate enough to watch Frontios, which I believe was about episode 7 of our show.
I think so, yeah.
Now, the tone of those ones, it's a lot more lighthearted.
Mm.
It's they're quite fun adventures, whereas here, I felt we got very serious and very dark in this one.
We did, yeah. And there's a... I think that kind of starts when we went and watched Frontios. It started to get a little bit dark. But yeah, from there on, it decidedly got darker and darker.
You are right. I kind of... It was hinting at where it was going to go,
yeah.
I think. And I like this one. This was good.
Yeah, yeah.
This was good stuff.
Mm.
So, I mean, immediately we start in this desert. And the Doctor and Perry... they're there. But most importantly, I'm getting ahead of myself. I should probably read the blurb at the back. What do
let's
you think,
go
Tom?
For it, yeah.
Let's give it a try. On the cave-riddled world of Androzani Minor, the Doctor and Perry inadvertently find themselves enmeshed in a war fought between the ruthless General Chalak and the sinister Sharaz-Jek and his army of androids. The duplicitous politician Morgus wants Chalak to execute the time travelers as spies, while the disfigured Jek seeks to keep Perry forever hostage within his stronghold. But the Doctor soon realizes an even more gruesome fate awaits them. They have been infected with fatal Specrox toxmia, and there is no cure. Hunted by both factions and with death just hours away, how far must the Doctor go in order to save his friend's life? I even think I saw him smile.
He was in all the four parts. Sharpest knife in the block.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah. So straight-faced, so serious.
He was very blunt.
Mm, and he had a great presence on the screen, I thought, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Now, he was good. And I also particularly enjoyed... Well, I thought the other guy was the president. That was my understanding.
Right, okay. Yeah. I think he might be right there.
Yeah. And there was a bit of a struggle for leadership, which is weird because we kind of had that theme in The Deadly Assassin that we reviewed only 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, politics and Doctor Who are two things that often marry up a lot, especially in Classic Who, and we definitely see a lot of that in some of the past episodes, like Day of the Daleks even, and Deadly Assassin, and there's been quite a few that's had the theme of, like, governments and who has the right of power.
Yeah, yeah, it seems to go together pretty well. I mean, both times that they've tried this kind of storyline that I can recall, it's worked.
Mm.
It's been quite engaging.
First of all, we need to find our way to the TARDIS.
She has been taken from me.
Now, we have to talk about the main villain in this story, Shiraz Jek.
Oh my goodness, where do you start with him?
Well, I mean, let's just start at what he looked like. I thought it was something out of a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of like a Deadpool type character.
Yeah, sure.
And I could easily see this guy being a popular favourite to dress up as at a convention or something like that.
I've seen one or two.
Oh, really?
Infos, not in person, but I have seen it at the big cons.
Oh, like, gee, that's interesting.
Gallifrey and Chicago TARDIS.
I mean, he's had a bit of a troubled past. He doesn't want to show his face, and this becomes quite obvious. There's a key scene with Perry later on.
Yeah.
Where, you know, he's almost tempted to show her, but then she kind of freaks and gets a bit scared. And
yeah.
I thought that was quite good.
That was nicely elongated. That was that first kind of teaser. And then later on, I think in part four, he took it off, but the audience didn't see it. And that was quite scary in itself because we saw... the response of Perry and the response of Shiraz Jek as well, which is probably even more horrifying.
It's one of those plots that always works just throughout cinema, I reckon. Yeah. You have this masked villain and the whole time you just want to be like, who is this guy? I want to see his face.
Yeah.
Once he did reveal himself in that fourth part, wasn't as good as I was hoping. I don't know.
Sure,
His face, it was a bit forgettable in my opinion. Like, yeah, it looked a bit messed up.
Yeah.
But I was expecting something just way worse from how they'd been building this up.
I think in terms of reveal, the talents of Wang Chiang definitely takes the gold medal for that.
Yeah, for sure.
With the reveal of Wang Chiang itself.
Oh, gosh.
I gotta say though, I wanna see an episode where there's a villain of some kind of a bit like Shiraz Jek or Wang Chiang, and they take off the mask and reveal it's the Doctor.
Oh, yeah.
That would throw me off.
That would get everyone. Yeah. Well, we were having a bit of a joke, actually, that Shiraz Jek was going to be Colin Baker. What wasn't to be? I mean, we should have known, obviously. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I thought he was a cool character. And it was interesting to me that even though he got a lot of screen time, he wasn't actually the main focus of the story.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the main plot going throughout, and we only kind of find this out in part two, the Doctor and Perry, they've actually been poisoned.
Yes, by the raw Spectrox.
Mm.
Yeah.
And this becomes quite evident throughout the whole episode. I love how over time we start seeing all these different marks in their skin. And, you know, before...
It's very soft gore. Almost.
It is.
Yeah.
But it works. And I was looking at it thinking, oh my gosh, like we're going to get another shot of Perry and she's going to be a zombie. You know? But it wasn't quite to be. But
yeah.
I thought that was quite interesting.
I definitely reckon that subtlety works, especially for Classic Who, because there's such a young audience watching it. And I think that's one of the ways that Doctor Who wins again and just travels on without being why isn't this appropriate?
Yeah. No, I know what you're saying, for sure. Sometimes you don't have to full-on blatantly just show everything.
Yeah.
You can do it nice and subtly, and I think in that sense they exceeded pretty well.
Yeah.
Now, what do you think of all the henchmen in this story? We had quite a few different factions.
There were. I think my favourites were the more official ones that were following the general. They had some nice moments. And when, I can't remember his name for the life of me, but the one in the blue uniform who is actually one of the androids.
Oh, Celatine?
Yes.
Yeah. He was great.
I think he was one of my favourite guest stars in this episode.
He was excellent. Yeah. And not to mention that ending. You know that massive fight we have?
There is this huge scene.
Oh, it's
absolutely bloated with
deaths. We have Morgus confronting Shiraz Jek, in which they get into a bit of a scuffle, a bit of a fisticuffs. And then we get that other kind of general leader, that soldier, who starts pouring down gunfire on them, which that already shocked me.
Yeah.
And then Spellatine
out of the shadows, just comes out of nowhere.
It was incredible moment. It was one of the best moments of the episode.
And I think
that was
the android version of him as well.
It was, it was. And we both looked at each other, we both went, oh! And then we started clapping because it was brilliantly done.
It was probably one of the best moments in this episode.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I loved it. It's one of the standout moments to me, for sure.
Are you going to open this door or not?
Ah, Stutzy, have you had a good rest?
Damn you, Doctor, open this door!
Sorry, it seems to be locked.
Come, I've got to get the cutting gear. Now listen, Doctor. Be reasonable. This won't do you any good.
Stotzi, we'll be touching down in a couple of minutes, or more likely crashing down, you see. I'm a bit out of practice with manual landing, so if I were you, I'd find something firm to hang on to.
I'll murder you when I get in there, Doctor.
We gotta list another moment here. This is the other one that stood out to me. So Morgus and the actual president, they're not really seeing eye to eye.
Mm.
And he feels like he's going to be getting overthrown pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And then, oh my lord, he pushes the president...
Down the elevator shaft.
And I mean, we have to... I can't quite say it was the best animated sequence I've ever seen, where he's falling down the elevator shaft. I kind of laughed, which isn't good.
Yeah.
But
we didn't see it coming.
No, you didn't. Yeah, I mean, the music kind of hinted that maybe that was going to happen, but I must say I didn't pick it.
It's very kind of Macbeth-like.
Yes.
In the sense that he's trying to regain power.
Mm.
Yeah.
And throughout this period, Morgus, you could tell everything was going to hell.
Yeah.
And... you could tell that he was getting more stressed, and
that
wasn't
last
thinking...
transmission. Yeah, you know, I think it was in part four where he finds out that he's being disposed.
Yes, by his secretary.
Yeah.
Now we got to mention this lady. When I saw her on screen, I thought it was Margaret Pomeranz from Margaret and David at the Movies. What do you think about that, Tom?
I honestly thought the first time I saw this, her performance was pretty flat. But I guess the second time watching it, I appreciated her a lot more. For what she was and the role that she played, and it turned out to be a bigger and better thing at the end of the episode.
Yeah, I mean, I was shocked that she had such a, she was a main part of the story at the end there. It was a bit of a twist.
I
honestly thought she was just there to say a few lines and just be kind of that extra companion to Morgus in a sense. But
one of the clever things with the writing of classic Doctor Who is that no character is just really put there. They all have, like, a key plot point.
Yeah, for sure. And this one was written by Robert Holmes, who's...
quite a prolific
Doctor Who writer. Stranger to Doctor Who.
Absolutely.
What are some stories that he's done? Because I think we've reviewed one with that name before. I'm certain I've seen it.
Yeah, I definitely think we have done a few. I think he did The Crotons, The Space Pirates... Spearhead from Space, Terror of the Autons, Carnival of Monsters, The Time Warrior, The Ark in Space, Pyramids of Mars, The Brain of Morbius, The Deadly Assassin, The Talents of Wang Chang, The Sun Makers, The Ribos Operation, The Power of Kroll, The Caves of Androzani, The Two Doctors, The Mysterious Planets, and Part of the Ultimate Foe.
You cannot tell me that you just remember that off the top of your head.
Oh yeah, it's one of the things that I recite to myself every morning.
Oh my gosh. Well, there you go. Yeah. So he has wrote a lot of Doctor Who.
He has, all the way back to the second Doctor.
Yeah. Jeez, that's a big contribution.
It is, and I think he's shaped a lot of what is the Doctor Who mythology today.
And I was curious, because he died during Trial of a Time Lord, didn't he? During the writing of that.
He wrote The Mysterious Planet, and he started The Ultimate Foe, which was the last part to... the Trial of a Time Lord saga, but he unfortunately passed away, and Pip and Jane Baker took over.
Oh, my favourite writers!
not
a huge fan of this.
Perry, can you hear me? Open your mouth. You must drink this. Jackage knew his stuff. Good old Jackage.
Jackage? You got the bat's milk?
Contains an anti-vesicant, I imagine. Interesting.
Where is it?
What?
The bat's milk.
Finished. Only enough for you.
There must be something I can do. Tell me.
Too late, Perry. Going soon. It's time to say goodbye.
Don't give up. You can't leave me now.
I might regenerate. I don't know. Feels different this time.
So, this was the end of an era at this point in time.
Yeah.
We're closing the door for Peter Davison. And overall, did his run work for you in, as a whole body of work, or was it weaker than some of the other Doctors who we'd had before?
It worked really well, I reckon. There was a nice consistency in that. I feel like his Doctor definitely works better with more companions other than just like one companion at a time. Very much in the same kind of vein as Hartnell or Troughton, who had one or two more companions. And I think it's definitely the first time since that they've done that. And it worked very well for Davison. And the kind of coming back of like the Master every couple of stories worked well as well. Not at the same kind of rate as he did in the Pertwee era, but it still definitely worked very well for me.
Mm. Yeah, I think he did an excellent job. So far, all the stories I've seen of him, I'm enjoying. I mean, I can say that more than I can say for John Pertwee, which even though I think he gives a great performance, I'm still yet to see that
good episode.
Episode, which I'm not sure why Tom keeps picking duds. But
I just like duds.
Oh, who knows. Mm. But I'm sure that will come as well. But yeah, so far he's doing a great job. Is there like a lull or like just a really dull period where it just isn't working for Peter Davison?
Oh, I think there was a lot of overshadowing from the 20th anniversary special. Okay. And that kind of lapses over to Warriors of the Deep, which was supposed to be a good story, but I haven't seen it yet personally, so we need to get to that one and see what we think.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's definitely be worth doing. Mm. I mean, this will be the last review of 2015, actually, which is kind of weird.
Yeah.
And then we embark on more Doctor Who. Oh, a lot more Doctor
Who. A lot more. We still have quite a lot to
do. Quite a lot to go. That's right. So, who's your favourite performer in this one? Who did you enjoy most? What was the character that did it for you?
I definitely have to say Peter Davison. Was fantastic.
Well, yeah, this was kind of his moment, wasn't it?
It was his swan song.
It was.
Sharrow's Jack was another one who I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
And that one you mentioned before, who was also the android.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Celatine. Yeah. Yeah.
Those were my three favourites from this one.
Yeah, he was really awesome. Mm. Yeah, it was good. It was a nice, again, it was another Doctor Who story with plenty of great side characters, and they all make it like a big ensemble cast. It's really interesting to me. It's never just like three characters in a story. There's always about 10, 15.
Yeah.
And they're all pretty likeable after a while.
They are, yeah.
Yeah. For me, it was Morgus. Oh, my gosh. I just loved how serious that guy was the whole time. And I thought he did a good performance, and it turns out that he's in the Happiness Patrol, which I didn't even realise until I had
to That's have a, fantastic. Have a look. And he plays
Oh, yeah, it's like a little side character. Sergois or something? I'll have to have another look.
Yeah.
But
we'll have to suss it out when we review the Happiness Patrol.
Yeah, oh my goodness, we got to at some point in time.
It's a great story.
Oh, it's excellent. Yeah, so, I mean, I think they did a pretty excellent job here. I thoroughly enjoyed the episode. And, I mean, there's still more to talk about, of course. Like, the fact that you pointed this out to me, and it seems like at the end of every classic Doctor Who episode, if they infiltrate a base, they go to a planet or something like that, it all just blows up every time at the end, as if to signify there's nothing left and we're not coming back to this ever again. Why do you think they do that? Is that cheap?
I don't know. It could be. I guess it's probably a quirk that a lot of Doctor Who writers have.
Mm.
Like I was saying to you, it's happened in Revelation of the Daleks. Yeah, it's happened in The Seeds of Doom. Mm. It's happened in... Oh, greatest show in the galaxy.
It just feels like I see it a million times over. I mean, I know it's a formula even for some of those big action movies.
Yeah.
But it's just fascinating to me that it's always, well, let's blow it up because we can't work out how to end it properly.
It seems like every character is demonized by the spirit of Ace whenever she has a desire to blow something up.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, gosh. It's all just chaos.
Yeah.
It's all a little bit crazy.
Now, what do you think you're going to rate this story?
This story? Okay. I am going to give it a
7.5.
7.5. I thought it was good, yeah.
It's pretty generous.
Yeah, it is generous, yeah. I mean, there was enough side characters here, four-parter, went the right amount of time. I was intrigued. Peter Davison was good. I did find the plot a little bit confusing here and there.
A bit convoluted.
Yeah, it was probably a little bit convoluted.
It did throw you off at points. Like, yeah, at the end of part one, where we have the Doctor and Perry being shot.
There were some great cliffhangers throughout some of the parts. I'm just trying to... Yeah, like the other one at the end of part three, where the Doctor is... He's almost about to hit Earth. You know, he's like flying down. And then you've also got the other military guys that are about to shoot him.
There were a lot of great...
And he's like, I'm already going to die anyway.
Yeah,
it was good stuff.
And I think the regeneration as well was very...
That was a nice moment, and I really liked how they kind of reflected upon the run. We even saw Adric, which I love Adric. I know he's not as big with some other people.
I like him too. But,
and even got Australia's own Tegan.
Yeah, and Turlo.
And Turlo.
And my personal favourite, Nyssa.
Yes. Yeah, there you go. So, I mean, overall, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And another thing, the comedicness does live on.
Because
we had a great reveal of Morgus at the start. You remember that?
I do,
We had that great music by Roger Lim.
His music score, by the way, sorry to interrupt, but his music score was fantastic.
Oh, it was good.
It lived all the way through the whole story. It was coherent.
There are a lot of nice themes in the music. Like, I particularly liked, the marching drum sounds that we'd have going on when they were being lined up, ready to be slaughtered or shot down. That was a nice touch. Then there was some real nice eeriness going on. So overall, he did a nice job. And I'm not sure if he's done a lot of work for Doctor Who, because I haven't really researched that. But I know as a fact for what I've watched and what we've reviewed, his name hasn't really come up much when we talk about the score. It's been more Kev McCulloch or Dudley Simpson or people like that. But Robert Lim, well worthy addition, I think, to Doctor Who.
I think he was fantastic.
Yeah. No, for sure, he was good. And the audience is left with a quick aside from Colin Baker. Oh, dear God. Or is this a good thing? Should we be excited that we're going into Colin? What did you think? Did Colin...
I think people were excited. But once again, like the 20th anniversary special... I think Caves of Androzani very much overshadowed what was the Twin Dilemma, his debut story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was half thinking we'd jump right into that next, but what do you think about that?
Oh, I don't see why not.
Yeah, we could always give that a quick review. Always be a little bit of fun.
Somewhere down the line, definitely.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, so, I mean, it was an episode of Doctor Who, what can I say? But it was a bit more entertaining than usual. I really... really liked how it was a bit more dark too. I'm finding I'll tell you my perfect Doctor Who episode in my opinion. I love a historical one, not that this was, with some dark undertones to the plot. That's my
so recipe. Pretty much Ghostlight.
Exactly. Weirdly I didn't love that as much as I thought I would, but kind of in that vein. So it is Christmas Eve that we're reviewing this. Obviously, it'll come out later. Hope everybody has a fantastic Christmas. I really do. And make sure you get plenty of great gifts and maybe a few Doctor Who things in between. And, of course, Tom would like to say something.
I forgot to rate this episode.
Yeah, no, I was going to come back to you on that. What was your rating? What was your rating on the Caves of Androzani?
I'm going to give it an 8.
An 8?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is this your favourite Peter Davison?
Oh, probably.
Yeah.
Just stunning. I'm up there with the majority.
You're just loving people, just loving it.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
Now, we've also got some fan mail.
That we do. And Tom is definitely going to get to having a bit of a read. And who could this have... Who wrote into us, Tom?
We had Rob Lloyd write into us.
Robert Lloyd?
Yeah.
The Robert Lloyd?
Yeah, from Who Me?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So he wants to see some specific classic Doctor Who stories reviewed.
Well, sure. Let's have a look. What have we got?
They are The Time Meddler, The Mind Robber, Inferno, Mind of Evil, Carnival of Monsters, Face of Evil, The Sun Makers, City of Death, Frontios, which we have done.
Yep.
Vengeance on Varos, and The Happiness Patrol.
Jeez, there you go.
He's given us quite a bit of work to do.
So that's going to take probably the first 3 or 4 months. But who knows? Yeah, you know, for sure. We'll check in a few of those ones, and then, of course, we'll pick some other ones as well.
Mm.
And, obviously... We need to get in talks with him. I reckon we should get him on the show.
Absolutely.
Bit of a guest host.
We need to get a few people on this show.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure.
Start rolling them in for 2016.
Oh, gosh. Wouldn't it be great?
Yeah.
Very exciting stuff. Now, any final thoughts on this episode, Tom?
I think we've almost said it all. I think if there's anything else to talk about, that is just a really solid story, a really solid ending to an era, and... I think it's a really nice kind of realization of Nicola Bryant as an actor, which I think we haven't talked as much about, but we definitely have touched lightly on some bits where she has been spot on.
Yeah, Perry always kind of falls under the radar for me a little bit. I'm not sure why. Maybe it doesn't focus on her as much as... You know, it seems like her character's kind of one-dimensional. There's not a lot going on with her generally. Like, I like in some of the more recent ones, they've really given the companions a purpose or something to be worried about. Whereas with Perry, she kind of just goes along, goes through the adventure. But
comes out alive.
But with that said, this was a very nice performance. Like, I love that whole scene where she's, like, lying down, sweating. You know, she's at death's door. Sharaz Jack is trying to fix her up.
Yeah.
That was great. That was good stuff. It was a good performance.
Yeah, definitely.
So she did pretty well.
I definitely feel as though her big finish stuff is probably a lot more stronger than her TV performance.
Right, okay.
Probably because she got more to work with in the sense that she is there for a purpose.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah, plot-wise, it probably made her a lot more interesting.
It did, yeah. Absolutely.
No, that's good to know.
Mm.
So, Tom, where can you find us if anyone wants to write in and share some reviews? Because we'll read them on the show.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, you can visit us on Facebook at Doctor Who Who's to Review. And you can email us at whostoreviewdoctorwho@gmail.com.
That's right. Send in an email, or you can just write a post on the Facebook page. Either way, we'll have a look at it. Make sure to get back to you, of course. And 2016, it's going to be a massive year for the podcast, I feel.
I think so, yeah. There's a lot still to review, and I think there's some golden episodes in there too.
Well, actually, I'm looking forward to watching an absolute shocker, to be honest, because I feel like...
Yeah, me too.
I feel I haven't been harsh enough on some of these reviews that we've had, but I guess we've just had good episodes.
I think, what would be our lowest rated one so far for 2015?
Oh, it's hard to say. I really didn't like Day of the Daleks. I thought that was pretty ordinary. Yeah. So.
I feel like we rated Terror of the Autons pretty low as well.
Yeah, and you're noticing a pattern here?
It's probably I'm picking Doug Purley's.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, who knows? But, also we have a special mention here. Tom is going to reveal the date that we will be uploading the one and only Doctor Who the movie review. Now, Tom, when is that going to be?
That will be May 22nd.
May 22nd.
I believe so. I need to double check on that. But
now that coincides with a special date, doesn't it?
It coincides with the 20th anniversary of Doctor Who, the movie.
There we go. Yeah. Celebrating 20 years.
Yeah.
Going into May. Well, absolutely, we're going to do that.
Paul McGann hasn't changed one bit.
No, he hasn't. Mm. He looks younger now than he did then. I don't know what the hell was going on.
Speaking of Paul McGann, you can find The Caves of Androzani on DVD in the Revisitations 1 box set, which also comes with the TV movie and The Talons of Wen Chiang.
All good. Man, that's a good box.
It's a solid box. Yeah,
she's all excellent. There you go. Yeah. It's going to happen. I reckon that'll be 2 hours, that podcast.
Probably. That we don't want to let our audience drag on for too long, so we'll try and contain ourselves to some capacity.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't mind if we dedicate a little bit more time to it than usual, because, to be honest, it is your favourite. I won't be saying much at all. I'm just going to let you talk that one for 2 hours.
What's your favourite story so far?
My favourite story so far? There's a few contenders. At the moment, probably my top few favourite Doctor Who stories is Talons of Wang Chiang. I love Greatest Show in the Galaxy.
That's another one I love too.
And I also particularly enjoyed Talons of Wang Chiang.
You said that one before.
Did I?
Yes.
Oh, whoops. No. There was another one.
You just like it too much.
Oh, I think, yeah, that is my favourite one so far.
Yeah.
And Caves of Androzani today, I thought was pretty solid.
I think they're all three pretty stellar episodes.
Pretty damn good. Well, with that said, we hope you have a fantastic Christmas. I know that's going to be weird because we'll upload this a week late.
Have a happy holiday,
Let's reflect on that Christmas. Did you get as much out of it as you had hoped? Was it enjoyable? Did you have a good time with family and friends? Did you get any Doctor Who related presents? Maybe you didn't, that's fine. And have a safe and happy new year as well.
Also, let us know what you thought of the Christmas special, The Husbands of River Song.
Yes. But now, am I allowed to watch that? Or because I'm only halfway through Series 9?
I reckon play it safe. Wait for the DVD to come out.
Yeah? Okay. Because there's going to be spoilers or some previously.
They might have some one-liners in there somewhere where the Doctor refers to things that have happened, unfortunately. It'll be nicer if the Christmas specials were a bit more self-contained.
Yeah. Well, I kind of felt last year's one was.
Yeah.
Which is why I asked.
Yeah.
The last Christmas one I thought was quite good.
Yeah.
Well, with that said, thank you all, and we will see you again next week for episode 13. Thank you, and take care.
Goodbye.